We're kind of more like co-workers or co-parenting rather than like lovers. My husband and I've talked quite a bit about this. Like he says, I like it when you initiate. I like it when you lean in. That helps me. That encourages me. They just said, I just love the way you and dad just kiss each other. You know, I don't necessarily have to wait for him. I can do things that say, this is also what I want.
Dear young married couple, you're in a busy season of your life. You're probably working and involved in ministry. On top of that, you might even be parents or students. You're maxed, but you really want to stay connected in your marriage.
And that's why we're bringing this podcast to you.
I'm Adam King.
And I'm Carissa King. And we work with busy couples just like you in our counseling office here in Sacramento, California. We also work with couples all over the world through online counseling. And our couples are really just looking for ways to communicate with each other more effectively. Some of them are looking to heal from a breach in trust or find direction in fulfilling the purpose that God has for them.
So come and join us as we have a conversation. We'll talk with therapists, authors, pastors, and other couples who will pour into us, giving us tools to become more intimately connected, get adventurous, and find purpose.
Welcome to the Dear Young Married Couple podcast. Today's episode is for the ladies, and it's all about the flirtation experiment. And so I had the privilege of speaking with Lisa Jacobson today, who's the co-author of the book, The Flirtation Experiment. And Lisa is a podcaster, the founder of Club 31 Women. And she and her husband, they've been married for 30 years and they live in the Pacific Northwest. And then their podcast is called The Faithful Life Podcast. So this episode is all about getting that spark back into your marriage or just wanting to fan the flame higher. It's, you know, if your daily interactions are starting to feel kind of stale or like you guys are ships passing in the night, this episode is for you. It's all about practical ways that you can experiment by flirting with your husband and really finding the intimacy and the romance that you crave. So listen into this awesome episode. Also, one quick note, we do have just a few slots left for our intimacy and adventure retreat in St. George, Utah. We would love to have you there with us live. It's going to be March 11th through the 13th in person. And it's all surrounding intimacy and adventure. So we have lots of fun adventures that we'll be doing, like sand duning in the four-wheelers on the sand dunes. We'll be golfing and there are massages, hikes. That's all optional. But it's going to be a blast. And then all of our marriage sessions will be focused on intimacy and adventure. You'll get an intimacy and adventure kit on your bed when you arrive at the retreat. Beautiful hotel, by the way. All the pictures are on the website. So you can go to dearyoungmarriedcouple.com/retreat to register. And we hope to see you there. Welcome, Lisa, to the podcast. We're so happy to have you on today.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So I love the title of your new book, The Flirtation Experiment. And before we jump into what the experiment brought about in terms of the fruit in your marriage and in the marriages of those that you influence, we want to hear why this experiment? How did this come about between you and your co-author?
Well, my co-author is Felicia Masenheimer, and she's also one of my contributors on the Club 31 Women. And so she called me, and we're also personal friends. So she called me one day and she said, okay, Lisa, I've been doing this thing for my marriage and I'm really excited about it. And I call it the flirtation experiment. And then immediately I had that sense of, okay, I love this. Tell me more. And she said, well, I just felt like we were in kind of a dry spot. We have lots of young children and we're kind of more like co-workers or co-parenting rather than like lovers and friends. And so she said, I didn't let him know, but I've been secretly working on these little flirtations and the effect was phenomenal. So she read me some of her notes and how it impacted not just him, but her and their marriage. And I started laughing. I just said, oh, I'm almost a professional flirt. Like, I totally get what you're talking about. And so earlier on, I've been married for almost 30 years, but earlier on in our marriage, when I had young children at home, I kind of had the same sort of experience. I didn't have a name for it at the time, but it was one of those moments where I chose to do something intentionally just to see if it would help, if it would work. And the impact was tremendous. And it was kind of that later on, I've called it kind of my secret sauce, or the kind of thing that helps us keep the glue together, even when we're working through hard things or in a difficult season. So that's awesome. How it came about. And so we decided, let's do a book together, because we have two different women with different personalities, different marriages, different even seasons of life. And, and yet we really find that this is applicable no matter if you've been married 2 years or 50.
That's so cool. I love that. Okay. So let's get practical. Talk to us a little bit more about what the flirtation experiment could include. What did it include in the early stages when you guys were just experimenting with your own husbands?
Okay. So I'll tell you my first one, at least that I remember so clearly, because it had such an impact. And it was a season of life. I had 4 children, 6 and under, and it was a very busy season. My husband was working hard, and he was gone a lot for his work. And so I was at home, I was just making dinner, and the kids were on the kitchen table waiting for dinner, kind of like throwing their napkins at each other and kind of playing, but almost on the border of arguing.
Yep.
The deal.
Totally.
And he walked into work, walked in the front door, and he came behind me, and he kind of wrapped his arms around my waist while I was cooking. And I should have been just thrilled. Like, I should have been like, oh, honey, you're home. But I was just mad. Like, I was already mad. And
yep.
And so I kind of did the, not saying anything, but just kind of shrugged him off, basically saying, get away from me.
Okay.
So, and he kind of backed off. And then I just happened to glance around my shoulder, and I saw just his shoulders droop. And I just saw that he was just defeated, discouraged, rejected. And I thought, okay, Lisa, all day long, you've been thinking, oh, how nice it would be if I just, had this romantic experience and these, wonderful opportunities like you see in the movies or something. And I thought, I just blew it. Like, I just lost an opportunity. And I thought, what would happen if instead of doing what I just did, I kind of turned around and like pressed right back into him. So I did, I didn't let him even leave, because all this happened in a split instant, right? So I turn around and I just wrap my arms around his neck and I just pressed into him. And then we were there for, a while.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, wait a minute. Woo. We better, the kids are like, what's mom and dad doing over there? And
that's fantastic.
It was really wonderful. And it was interesting to me, not just how it obviously encouraged him, he started helping with the kids and just gave him some refresh and energy, but also it changed me too. I also felt we've got a good thing going here. And I almost forgot. And this is something I can build. I don't have to, I don't necessarily have to wait for him. I can do things that say, this is also what I want. This is, even if I'm not feeling this way, I want to make steps, make decisions that encourage this direction that I long for.
Oh, beautiful. That's so cool. I love that example. I like it when people can visualize, how does this play out? So that's one example is just, and actually we, in psychological terms, we call it leaning in. But even if it's not a physical lean in, it can be an emotional lean in. Or a communicative lean in. And you gave an example of how that can be done physically, but it was a choice. Yeah,
it is a choice. And I think as Christian women, I feel like we've bought into this. Oh, we just have to wait for our husbands. We have to wait for him to lead. And I'm all for, men leading. I embrace that, but also, and my husband and I've talked quite a bit about this. He says, I like it when you initiate. I like it when you lean in.
Yes.
That encourages me. Mm-hmm. And I just think we have more power than we sometimes give ourselves credit for.
That's good. Yeah. I agree with you. I agree. So it's interesting. You talked about the Christian women aspect. Cause you could have just said women in general, but you chose to say as Christian women. Mm-hmm. Where do you think that comes from as Christian women, that we feel the need to just let him initiate everything and lead everything? Not just, being the spiritual head, but, initiating even in our romance.
Yeah, I do think it's that trickle down effect that we somehow took the idea of spiritual leadership again, which I embrace, but kind of made it sound like, so seem like they have to do everything. They have to initiate sex. They have to initiate conversation. They have to initiate family rhythms. Mm. It's a lot on this guy who's working full time as well as trying to be a husband and father. And it's actually something you can be helpful with. It's something that, like I said, my husband has said, this doesn't make it all on me. And it makes me feel wanted. It makes me feel cared for. And I thought, oh, I never thought of it like that. Right.
Yep. So, yep.
Not That's all good. On you. It's something we're doing together.
Yes. Amen. And I think that is quite biblical, you know, that it needs to be collaborative. We see that in 1 Corinthians about in the sexual context. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we see it in Song of Solomon, where she's actually initiating quite a bit in both the romantic, non-sexual context before they're married and then the sexual context after they're married. Yeah. So it's quite biblical.
Yes, it is. Like, I love that you mentioned the Song of Solomon part, because I think we sometimes miss or pass over the fact that this woman has a lot to say and a lot to offer their relationship. And I love the visual of her pursuing him. Like when he, you know, she goes out in the night and she's like, where are you? Yep. And she's the one that's seeking him.
Yep.
And I think that's a beautiful picture of what we can do and want to do.
Yes. Okay. So if a woman is listening and she's like, okay, I want to try this experiment, where do I start? How would you guide her in starting this experiment with her husband?
So I think it's a good idea to just list a couple of things, a couple of areas you want to change. Mm-hmm. Maybe you want to connect more. Maybe you want to have date night. Maybe you want to have more sex. Like, I hear this quite a bit. And so be pretty specific about what your expectations and hopes are. And then if you could write down one or two things that are small but specific that you're going to try for a period of time, maybe 7 days, maybe the next 30 days. Because that is something, like, as you know much about scientific experiments, is it's important to be specific and have your time frame so that you know what you're pursuing, rather than that general, I just want. You're really saying, no, this is what I'm going to try. And that's kind of the thought behind it, calling it an experiment.
An experiment. You're actually trying to specify an outcome. And I love the idea of an experiment, because you can even think of a hypothesis, right? Like, you visualize it coming to pass, and that actually helps with you pursuing that outcome.
Yeah, like Felicia used one, like this is one of the first ones that she told me about. And she said, I'm not really a fun person, but I want more fun in our marriage. And my husband is a fun person. And so she said, I just realized I'm kind of all business, all this is what we need to get done. And even though at the same time, I'm complaining that, you know, there's not more laughter in our marriage. Okay. So she said, okay, so every day, for 7 days, she was going to play some kind of joke or some kind of prank with him. And, she did things like wait for him when he got home from work and had water balloons behind a bush and like just threw water balloons at him. And she was like, I felt really stupid because I'm just so not that way. She said, but it was so fun. And, you know, it ended up that we were laughing and then she tried a couple of other things like that. And she said, I just noticed after this little experiment that he had a little note for her, just things like that. She goes, so it really did. It filled his tank in a way he didn't even know how to communicate.
That's cool.
Fun in our marriage. I want you to be fun.
That's really cool. I love that. And even though you experiment for, say, 7 days or 30 days, do you find in the feedback you're getting from the study and from the book, do you find that this is a rhythm that continues throughout the marriage? It doesn't stop after 7 days or 30 days?
Yes, I think it absolutely can carry on. We have found that it's something to renew and it doesn't like, oh, I fixed that, right? And now we're the fun couple or, now we're connected.
Yeah.
But what's really nice about it, because now I've been doing it formally for the last maybe 3 years now. But occasionally Felicia and I will talk on the phone and we'll say, we'll share with each other about maybe something we're struggling with or discouraged by. And like, okay, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to do another flirtation experiment this next week. And
oh, nice.
And it doesn't take so long to bring it back, we find, and it does help. And even if, like, obviously our husbands know now, they know what they're up for.
Sure.
I told my husband, Matt, I said, do you ever be tired of, like, you know, feel tired of being a laboratory rat? He goes, you kids? No, I love it. And I said, I'm surprised you don't catch on, like, oh, Lisa's on her little flirtation thing again. He goes, no, I don't think that way.
That's hilarious. Okay, we'll talk a little bit about how husbands respond. Obviously, if you're connecting more with him, he's going to like it. And you've kind of given a head nod to that. What about when they know that this is because it's quote unquote an assignment? You know, like, I think about the assignments I give my clients and they're like, well, what if my husband knows that I'm just doing it because my therapist told me to, you know, like, so talk about like that piece of it, like the husband catching on.
Well, as so far, the results from my husband, her husband, and then the other women that have done this experiment, they said it's been 100% positive and they didn't care what was motivating it, just that they liked that it was doing it. As long as it was genuine, which
of course
it's been pretty much the case for most women. They're like, I don't know how to do this. I just know I want to do this. And so many of the husbands have also appreciated that their wife is being vulnerable this way. They actually recognize that it's uncomfortable or stretching sometimes.
Yes.
Like one of the things I did this, I wanted more mystery in our romance. You know, we've been married for 30 years. So after a while, you kind of feel like you know each other pretty well, but okay, I want more mystery. And so I planned this, for me, somewhat elaborate mystery dinner date. But I felt really stupid. I'm like, oh, this is so, you know, he's going to think this is dumb. He's going to think this is cheesy. Like, I can't even tell you all the voices that went into my head.
Yep.
But it was the opposite. Like, he loved it. Oh, and he was like, cool. And I was kind of leading him around, giving him directions. I thought, oh, he's kind of more of a take charge guy. So I didn't know how he'd feel about that. But he was totally down for it and thought it was great. So, appreciated my efforts. Like, he genuinely did. So.
That's fantastic. I love that. That's really neat. So it does require vulnerability. This is new. It's different. I explain it this way. You're going out for a high five and you don't know if you're going to get a high five back. You might be left hanging. Now, in all the cases you've described, you've had some pretty good outcomes. So they have an idea of, okay, I'll probably get a high five back, but you don't know. And especially if you're not one to initiate, typically you're not one to take risks, that might be really hard to overcome. Can you give some tips to the women out there who are saying, ah, that's not me. I don't know if I can take that risk. I don't know if I can be vulnerable and try something new like that.
That's a tough one. And I just want to acknowledge that it's a challenge. But what I have personally wrestled with is that this is something that I want and I want for us. So no matter how he responds, I want to know at the end of this experiment that I've done what I can to achieve this outcome, even if it doesn't turn out the way I wanted or hoped. And so you can still feel good, even if you're disappointed or discouraged. So again, not taking away from that. And I did have some of those, you know, some of those experiences as well, where it didn't work out the way I had thought it would or hoped.
It's part of the experiment, right?
Yes, it was an experiment. And a few things came out of that. Again, just me realizing it's okay if I try, even if it doesn't turn out the way I'd hoped.
Yes.
I can feel good about that. But also in these cases I'm particularly thinking of, it was a growing experience for me in realizing, okay, what can I do different? What can I do maybe even better so we can communicate that this is important to me? And what I'm thinking of is celebrating. We're just not very good celebrators and I wanted more celebration. And it did not work out. Did not work out. And I ended up leaving just like, oh, see, we're never going to celebrate ever again. We're just not celebrating. I'm just going to have to resign myself. But it wasn't true. It was true. We didn't have an initial success, but we have continued to work on it. And I would say even now that he is just more aware of how important it is to me and that he's also working on it in his end. He goes, you know, this doesn't come natural to me, but I want to do better. And I think part of that is me not being so quick to just go, oh, failure, instead of going, okay.
You know, yeah, that's good.
Yes, but let's keep swinging.
I like that. And it does bring us back to the whole experiment concept. that this doesn't have to go perfectly. And so if you do feel some, you know, anxiety or trepidation about trying something new, accept the fact that it might not go exactly like you envision. Your hypothesis might not come to fruition, and that's okay. You can go back to the drawing board and you'll still accomplish some things.
In fact, I have teenage boys at home right now, and they're taking chemistry and physics, and they're in my kitchen often with, you know, the vinegar and you know, doing, like, what are you doing? Like, well, I'm supposed to, if I pour this into that, it's supposed to do that. But I said, well, it just looks like a mess to me. Like, I know, but I was really immediately convicted. Like, I don't think of them, oh, that's a failure. Like, that's not my response. My response is, why don't you go back to your original experiment? What, you know, did you follow all the steps? Is there something you could do differently? And I thought, oh, Lisa, this is a, you know, keep this picture in your mind of, you know, your son Hawken in the, on the kitchen island with his bottle of vinegar, you know,
yes.
going, hey, that's okay. Try again, try something a little different.
That's so awesome. That's a good visual to go back to. And I think, you know, any of us with children could plug in an experience we've had with our kids, whether it was an actual experiment in the kitchen with vinegar and whatnot, or just anything that they're trying for the first time. I mean, my daughter's 4 and she's riding a bike, and some days she actually does really well without training wheels. And then other days she gets a lot more anxiety about it, and it's okay. We just have to keep practicing and go back to the drawing board. And what are some other methods that we can use that will help? Yeah, that's good. So anything you can plug in there to help with the visual of giving yourself grace.
Definitely.
Yeah. What are some of the other experiments that you guys talk about in the book?
We'll be right back to the interview. But first, we wanted to share something that we are really excited about.
So, you know, we all have those times where we don't feel super connected to our spouse, and we really don't know what conversations to have to get us to that connected place. And then on top of that, we're so busy that we don't prioritize those conversations.
And that's why we created the monthly live date night.
And monthly live date night is every month on a Friday night for 90 minutes, 60 minutes. We focus on a topic that you guys pick. And then 30 minutes, we do a Q&A, and it's live where we're all together asking questions and giving answers on topics related to your marriage, your intimacy. And we share tools. We have handouts that we call homework because we want you to be there to listen and to soak in, but we really want you to take action in your marriage too.
So come join us live for the next monthly live date night. Check the link in the show notes for dates and details.
All right, back to the interview.
Okay, so some of the other ones we talked about were just connection and like for us, we had a season that, well, a lot of us had a season.
Yes.
So I don't even explain that, where just we just kind of fall into a rut too, just like watching shows in the evening, not really communicating, not really, like we're just fried. And I share this in the book. I think that's fine. Like I don't, you know, I'm not harsh with ourselves about that, but I also didn't want that to be our new way of being. And I did miss our times of evenings of connecting after the kids were in bed and having those conversations, just even if it's just how was your day to how are you feeling? What are you thinking about? So I had to think through of how can I like break this cycle we've got fallen into, and without giving him the big, what I call the big relationship talk, you know, you're not doing this and we're not doing that and we need to do better, because he gets tired of those little pep talks from me.
Yes.
so I just said, hey, why don't we play a game, you know, why don't we bring out the old Scrabble board? And at first he's like, okay, you know, I'm tired, but then he beat me soundly, so that, you know, cheered him up. And no, it was fun.
Yes.
But just so we started just making a goal of playing games 3-4 times a night, 3 or 4 nights a week. And
oh, wow.
And just for a little bit, like it doesn't have to be all evening. It's just a round or two. And that got us laughing and talking and just getting out of the mind rut we found ourselves in at the end of the day. So
that's a good way to put it, a mind rut. We can often find ourselves there. I love what you put on the back of the book. Do your daily interactions with your husband look more like a meeting between coworkers? And you referenced that concept earlier, you know, that especially at the end of a day, the end of a work day, you could get into conversations or lack thereof that just seem like your coworkers, you know, in the same space. And so being intentional about this is going to be key. Talk about the consistency that's required here.
Yeah, I know that we all naturally long for those big sweeping moments, that just really great date night or moment of deep connection. But as I think most of us probably know, deep down at least, that it's really built on those small things every day, mm-hmm. and or at least most days. And when I remember that, it helps me to be, you know, to be faithful in those little things. Another example in our lives, as far as like a small daily thing, is we start each day having coffee together in the mornings. And I, as a wife, have an option. I can use this as my mark off my list sort of time, you know, who's taking which kid where, mm-hmm. and which bills have or have not been paid, like just the things. Because for me, that helps me like clear my head, right?
Sure.
But it's not romantic. It's not what friends do. Like if you and I were sitting down having a cup of coffee, I wouldn't go, okay, so, you know.
Right. It's true.
Have you done all your school shopping? And, you know, we would talk about things. And so we try to make that time somewhat sacred and not talk about business. And just for those 30 minutes in the morning, we just talk about you, me, what you're thinking about, what you're dreaming about. And keep it kind of strict that way so that we do have a closer connecting time. And that sort of connection helps build to those, to make those sweeping moments where you have that really deep conversation you've been longing for, mm-hmm. or breakthrough, or even just a fun, wild, I'm calling it date night, but we've been locked down for most of this, so we don't get out as much as I'd like, but even if it's a long, beautiful walk, we're close, and I don't have to do the hard work of starting from ground zero.
Right. Because you've already warmed up. You've been connected on a regular basis. Yeah. You talked about earlier, the first time you remember in your own marriage where it was in the kitchen and, you know, you chose to go ahead and lean in and it was in front of your kids. What impact does this make on children when they see their mom and dad flirting, when they see mom initiating, when they see this intentionality taking place?
Oh, it has such a powerful impact on your kids. Our kids love seeing people love each other. And I think now more than ever, I'm sure it's always been true, but now that our four oldest kids are all in their 20s, so they're ready to give us feedback, right? and like they were home for Christmas even last couple of weeks, and they just said, I just love the way you and, you know, dad just kiss each other and you still snuggle and you laugh at each other's jokes. It's kind of cheesy, but it's really sweet.
Yes.
The longer we are out in the world and around other people, I realize how rare it is. And it just brings them a lot of security, gives them hope. And it's a bright light. I think it really impacts your kids.
Yes, absolutely. And you're speaking about that from an adult child perspective, being able to give you feedback. Mm-hmm. But even if you have young kids, you know, actually you mentioned impacting their security and their, you know, it's a good impact on them. There are studies that support that. The cognitive development is far superior when parents show affection in front of them, compared to kids who don't have connected parents or parents who don't show affection in front of them. Mm-hmm. You know, you hear often of people who are like, oh, we can't kiss in front of the kids, or we can't get too frisky. Like, I mean, obviously there are going to be some limits because there are some certain things that are sacred that you do keep very private. But I mean, if you kiss for a few seconds and it gets a little bit longer, that's okay in front of the kids. That's actually going to contribute to their security and cognitive development.
Mm-hmm. And they, even if they can't express it, they feel it. They really feel it down in their little bones that, mm-hmm. that the world is a good place. They're okay. And there is love and joy to be found.
And even you mentioned, and I hadn't even thought about this concept. You mentioned, you know, seeing mom and dad connect helps them realize that people can love each other and people can connect. It's not even necessarily about the marriage, although that's a big piece, but it's just about humanity in general. Like, they see a lot of hate around them in our community, in our society, and a lot of division. And so to see that people can still connect, I think does give them that sense of grounding.
Mm-hmm. It does.
I love that. That was well said. Thanks for that. So what would you tell someone who doesn't know where to start when it comes to flirting with their spouse? Now that we've talked about all the principles, we've given some examples, what would you say is a good starting point for them?
Okay. Well, I recommend getting our book, The Flirtation Experiment.
Yes. And we will link that in the show notes, by the way.
Because it does really both lay it out, but also give lots of examples that you don't have to follow exactly what we did, but you can go, okay, well, in our marriage, this probably would make better sense, or I would like to try this. So there's lots of room for creativity that way.
Okay.
And if you are starting out, then writing out that one goal you would like to have, better connected, more affection. You could do everything from something biblical, more kindness, more joy, to mm-hmm. something more just general, like the connection. Mm-hmm. And then write out, I think at least 7 days, but up mm-hmm. to 30 of, I'm going to do this. And it can be, I'm going to kiss him before he leaves for work or before I leave for work. Mm-hmm. I'm going to write a note in his lunchbox or something. Like, I don't know,
yes.
depending on just something that you know, that's a little outside your normal routine. But that's going to add that something that you, you want to build.
Okay, nice. So that's where to start, ladies. Just get that goal in mind and set up your 7 to 30 days, and maybe start small. If it's something that's maybe a bit, you're a bit trepidatious about, start small, start with 7 days, and then do they need to have a different action each day or just the same action each day? How would you guide them there?
Well, being consistent is super important. So a lot of times it is like, say it was, I'm going to kiss him for 7 seconds each day, then uh-huh. just go ahead and do that for your full 7 to 30 days.
Okay.
But if it's something like I mentioned, Felicia's, I just want more fun. She got creative and didn't do the same thing every day. It was just something kind of fun, silly mm-hmm. every day.
Sure.
For her.
So it can be either, just depending on what the goal is.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. I like that. So good, Lisa. This has been fabulous. I think this will spark some excitement for a lot of the ladies listening. And husbands, if you're listening, feel free to shoot this episode to your wife. And I don't think it could do anything harmful. I think it would just be a good conversation point if nothing else. And then hopefully it'll be something that really just blossoms into the experiment and the fruit that comes from that experiment.
Yes, definitely.
Yes. Okay, Lisa. So we are going to close out the podcast. I have a couple questions for you. One question is, other than the book, are there any other resources that you would recommend to folks listening pertaining to this subject or just marriage in general?
Well, I also have a couple of other books that I'll recommend, and not just because they're my books, but they're 100 Ways to Love Your Husband. And
what's the title again?
100 Ways to Love Your Husband.
100 Ways. Okay.
And these are short, like literally just short things that you can do. Words you can say, thoughts you can have, acts you can express. And my husband's actually written 100 Ways to Love Your Wife as well.
Nice. So, okay.
A lot of couples have expressed that it's been very helpful because for once the one book their husband will read because it's short, easy to do. And we found that so many times, both for husbands and wives, but a lot of times, especially for husbands, they want to love their wife. They just don't know. They're just running out of ideas so they'll go, oh, I could do this. I can run her a bath and, light a candle.
Right? So they're practical things. There are 100 very practical ideas. Love that. Okay.
So it's a great resource book. Especially if you feel stuck or discouraged, that you can go, I can do this without reading. There's a lot of really great marriage books out there. But sometimes they get kind of heavy or you're just like, okay, I want communication. I want this or that. I just don't know what that looks like on a day.
Yes.
So that's what those books are great for. So
okay, fantastic. Okay, well, we will link both of those in the show notes as well as The Flirtation Experiment. Okay. Where can people contact you or find out more about what you have to offer in your resources?
Okay, I am at club31women.com. And it's a website with that just encourages you and your marriage, your parenting, your faith. And you can contact me there. I'm also on Instagram, same handle, club31women.
Okay. Awesome. We'll put all that in the show notes as well. So last question for you, Lisa. This is the way we close out all of our podcast episodes. And we want you to rewind back 30 years ago to the beginning of your marriage. Think about the advice that you wish you would have received and then fill in the blank, dear young married couple.
Dear young married couple, I would advise you, recommend that you give both of you room to grow. And just how you are today doesn't mean how it's always going to be. And really, I thought about this so much after 30 years, and you think, oh, look at where we are now. And I wouldn't have guessed that in 7 years in. I wouldn't have even seen that 12 years. And it can be sweeter, even if there are hurdles to overcome, discouragements, trials. But as you walk through them together, and as you seek the Lord together, He can do really amazing things that you never even saw coming. So,
amen. Oh, yes.
So persevere.
Persevere. Thank you so much, Lisa. You are fantastic. We appreciate what you bring to the table and the encouragement that you give so many wives and how that impacts so many marriages. So thank you for what you do.
Well, thank you for having me.
All right, friends, we really hope that you got a ton out of today's conversation. And if you want help, if you want personal guidance with individual counseling or couples counseling, or even help with you as a couple reaching the goals you have, just reach out. Give us a call at 916-678-1797 or shoot us an email at hello@dearyoungmarriedcouple.com.
No matter where you are in the world or in your marriage, we can set up a counseling session with you and we can work toward progress. We also post marriage advice regularly on our Instagram, which is @dearyoungmarriedcouple. And we'd love for you to join us in conversation there. All right, see you next week.
Ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.